The theme of this conference, of course, is politics, policy, and public health, and this fits very nicely within that paradigm. This is not a research study. My own instincts and interests lie in the more on the political side, and this will take these three things in slightly reverse order, talking about the public health aspect, which is chemical hazards versus fire hazards, and policy, citing several organizations, and I have to trump the previous speaker in terms of late breaking. This slide was revised this morning. And the little secret is that the slide people let you do that up until 2 hours before your presentation. I don't know if they want everybody to know that or not, but they were very cooperative, and I'll explain why in a minute. And in some depth, the politics, what we can cover in that span of time. The central concern, which is not as much an injury concern, is the fact that meeting the upholstery furniture flammability standards, which is hard to pronounce, as they are currently resting in the Consumer Product Safety Commission as an advance notice of proposed rulemaking, would entail a great reliance on fire retardant chemicals. Most of the studies, and most have not been studied, have been found toxic in animal studies. They are persistent and they bioaccumulate, which means we don't get rid of them, they stay in us. Some of these have been phased out voluntarily or by law, but there are huge data gaps regarding the human health and environmental ramifications. APHA has taken a pretty strong and comprehensive stand as early as 1994 with this language. Virtually all organochlorides that have been studied exhibit one or more serious toxic effects, such as endocrine dysfunction, developmental impairment, birth defects, reproductive dysfunction, immunosuppression, and cancer, often at extremely low doses. You will see much the same language repeated in studies that are increasingly coming out as we get more data on these chemicals. There are very brief highlights of some events, simply to show that this has been around for a long time. California has a unique Bureau of Home Furnishings and Thermal Insulation, which in 1975 promulgated TB-117, which sets an open flame standard for the components of upholstered furniture, notably the interior foam. In the 80s, PBDEs were introduced as fire retardants in these settings. In 2004, enough information had developed so that the sole manufacturer stopped using them and subsequently have subsidized other potentially chemicals, often second cousins of the originals. In 2006, California legislature began dealing with Assembly Bill 706, which seeks changes in TB-117, which would ban the most toxic of these chemical families, not just one chemical at a time. And here I have to acknowledge my co-author, Arlene Bloom, who is the preeminent biochemist in this area, a wonderfully active woman who is primarily responsible for this bill. And much of the science is briefly covered in a one-page commentary that appeared 3 weeks ago in Science. I have reprints of that here if any of you would like to see that, and it includes her email address if you would like to become more informed on this. She has a lengthy list of people who receive a lot of information on an up-to-date basis. One of these chemicals, just to give you an example, brominated tris, which was used to flame retard children's sleepwear in the 70s, was found to contain an impurity in a metabolite known to be carcinogenic in 73. Based largely on a paper that Dr. Bloom wrote in collaboration with Bruce Ames, this chemical was banned from children's sleepwear in 1977. However, the very closely related fire retardant chlorinated tris is now the second most used fire retardant in furniture. So they put the shell on top of one thing and moved it somewhere else. If you're wondering whether PBD is dangerous, look at the relative, and particularly in California, look at the relative concentration indicated by the red circles of the presence in household dust across six regions of North America, comparing the Northern California study to Massachusetts, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Ottawa, and Boston, where they're far lower. How do we get these chemicals? We ingest them. We are exposed in certain occupations, including firefighting. We inhale dust particles, and they are absorbed across the placenta and breast milk. And 200 hydrocarbons, which many of you have been aware of, have been found in breast milk in forms that are dangerous at low doses. That last one is most important because kids are not little adults. Especially in ages 0 to 4, they breathe proportionally more air, they consume more water in relation to their body weight, they spend more time outside near the ground, and they have altered pharmacokinetics regarding how toxicants are absorbed, distributed, and affect their metabolism. We supposedly have some control over this through the TSCA, the Toxic Substance Control Act of 79, but 62,000 substances, which still represent 95% of the chemicals in our lives, were grandfathered in terms of any kind of detailed descriptions. There are 20,000 introduced since then, are not subject to health or environmental impact data requirements. Five original chemicals originally recorded, actually there were six, including asbestos, whose regulations were overturned in court in 1990. Since then, the EPA has been reluctant to attempt any further regulation because of the burden of proof requirements imposed. There are alternatives, as in AB 706, expanded use of smoke detectors and residential sprinklers, new furniture designs. There are studies going on alternative chemicals which would break down into more natural components when they migrate from their original product. And the concept of cradle-to-cradle design is important because it takes in the fact that these chemicals do not have an impact solely on the purpose for which they're intended, but in their manufacture and their disposal. Real briefly on the data, look at the line for the open flame part of the cigarette, of the proposed standard, 31, 20, 50, 30, 20. They're all rounded. They're all very low numbers. They come from a very sketchy sample. There may be only a handful of these cases which are used to make a national estimate. The larger numbers are for smoking-related cigarette-type ignited as opposed to open flame ignited. This comes from the National Fire Incident Reporting System, which I can only say is a gallant effort to capture data and detail on fires. You don't get upholstered fire data out of the NIS or the NEISS or many other much broader data systems. Only 38% of the fire departments participate. Many of the fires aren't cause-coded. You don't know who is the person actually who filled this out and whether they had any training. And there's limited, if any, oversight follow-up at higher levels. There's just not money to do that. The result, these data are very unreliable for low numbers. California being the only state with a standard, you might expect if it was affect the TB-117, that is, you might affect their decline in deaths to be much more prominent. But however, it's their decline in deaths overall from fires has gone down at an even slower rate than other major states since that time. The real reason is the fact that cigarette smoking has declined. This shows the very close correlation between fire deaths and the decline in smoking over the last 20 years from 1980 to 2002. Based on this kind of information, the American Burn Association just 10 days ago acted on a policy recommendation, which I won't read given the time limits, but basically they are taking a position that the public health ramifications of this are far more severe than the injury ramifications, which have been their traditional stock and trade when it comes to fire burn injury. And they are saying that this should not be promulgated until they have been found to be safe. Here are the speed bumps. This is the Fire Safe cigarette, which, if those of you who are familiar with it know, exceed the technology that's been developed. This is a slide that none of us have gotten back to the original. You probably can't see them, but they're where the arrows are thicker bands of using the same paper so that when the cigarette is being smoked, as it reaches that speed bump, unless it's being drawn on, it will self-extinguish. There's been a sudden explosion this year. I'm going to use the Southern California fire analogy. This smoldering issue has emerged this year. In April, there were 9 states which had enacted laws. As of late in October, there are 22 states which have enacted laws endorsing the fire, enacting the requirement that they meet a fire safe cigarette standard, which has been carefully modeled to be the same in each state. The laws now cover 52% of the population. There are nine more states which have bills. R.J. Reynolds has just announced within the past month in a letter to NFPA that it will adopt this technology for all its brands, which means that Philip Morris and others are likely to follow suit. Politics are, there are three levels. In the state level, some states have acted to ban specific chemicals. AB 706 would ban families of these chemicals. The industry is fighting back to try to fire flame retardant. Chemical people are trying to expand that standard elsewhere by referencing it in other states and to expand it to cover bed clothing. In Congress, there was an effort to get a section of the current CPSC reauthorization bill to require rulemaking to be completed in June 2008. That was removed through some lobbying efforts. However, there are other ways that they're pressing, particularly through the Consumer Product Safety Commission, to try to get this standard, which is two parts. One part addresses cigarettes, one part addresses open flames. The most recent language says and or, so that conceivably they could pass both of these. The irony being that the one with the least number of injuries is the one that would require the most chemicals to defeat it. I'll briefly touch on five areas which show how the cigarette laws are much more appropriate than the upholstered furniture standards as a way to accomplish a public health goal. The federal studies have proven that fire-safe cigarettes can be produced without new chemicals, but there's no proof that the upholstered furniture standard can be met in that way. There are speed bumps on the cigarette, no new chemicals, as opposed to the federal standard, which would require somewhere between 17 and 70 million pounds of FR chemicals to uphold to furniture foam. Reason for the variation is it would depend so much on which style of furniture people buy. Current estimate deaths, 700 to 900 from cigarettes, maybe 30 to 50, very, very sketchy, unreliable estimate for open flame. Rate of change, cigarette stocks change every 3 to 6 months. Upholstered furniture is purchased by only 2 to 5% of households each year. We're looking at 40 years over time, and particularly so with the less the households of lower income more likely to be smoking in the first place. The support for these laws on the cigarette standard has come from burn centers, fire service, consumers. Support for the flame standard, the upholstery standard, is being promoted by the industry. It has a market to protect and expand, and they are responsible for initiating and sponsoring all the lobbying efforts. Finally, to propose steps, we recommend that people urge CPSC to withdraw the standard, the proposed cigarette and open flame combination standard, based on the inadequate demonstration need, the hazard of these chemicals, and the likely ongoing decline in the cigarette hazard. Secondly, we promote similar action by our colleagues. APA can act based on its resolution. Children's Health, Health and Science faculties, environmental groups all have a stake in this and should be involved. The conclusions, again, the hazard is likely to decline further. The chemical burden is increasing and better understood with each new study. There is plenty of time to develop alternative ways. This is not an epidemic. To improve fire safety in consumer products, and continued monitoring of issue policies is needed, because the industry is not simply going to sit down and go away. Conclude with the Hippocratic Oath, primum non nocere. Above all, do no harm, and with a Chinese proverb, don't kill a fly on your friend's forehead with a hatchet. Thank you very much.